And now let's talk retirement. You or someone you love may be looking at it and asking, what's the difference between a pension plan or a 401k and an annuity? Well, company pension plans require you to contribute over time. They invest the money and at retirement pay you back in a lump sum or monthly checks. Annuities you buy in one lump sum, usually at retirement. Then they send you checks as well, but all the plans are different. Some say they'll pay you back for life, but wait, how much will that cost you in fees? Some let you take your money back, some don't. And while pensions are guaranteed by the government agency, the Pension Benefits Guarantee Corporation, if your company fails, you get something back. Annuities? Not so much. These are things you might want to think about as you go to your steak dinner. People of a certain age are getting postcard invitations to free steak dinners with a little financial advice on the side. But there's a sales pitch on the menu as well. New York Times finance columnist Ron Lieber's 80-plus-year-old aunt got one, and like many, they had her at the words New York steak. Ron joined her at dinner and now joins us to talk about annuities, which can be great if you do your research. Ron, welcome back.
It is nice to be back.
And you wrote you'd long wanted to attend one of those steak dinners. Because why?
Because nearly everyone I know who lives in a zip code of average affluence and who is of a certain age gets these pitches. They get them for reverse mortgages. They get them for estate planning. And they definitely get them for the retirement portfolios. And there have been a lot of warnings over the years about some of the bad things that happen in some of these meals. So I wanted to see it for myself.
And so tell us, first of all, you get there. There is steak. That's true. And there's also an insurance salesman.
So the first thing to know about these meals, if you're inclined to go just for the free meal, is that they have names for people like you. They call them plate lickers. So I got there, and the very first thing I noticed was there was a poster at the front of the room talking about something called equity index annuities, and my heart sunk.
What is an annuity, and why would your heart sink?
Well, an annuity at its most basic form is an insurance policy. It actually comes from insurance companies mostly. And what annuities attempt to sell in various forms is guarantees. And often they are guarantees against what many older people fear the most, which is running out of money. Now, the way in which they deliver on that guarantee, I mean, there are 100,000 different iterations of these things. But the equity index annuity is known for delivering very high commissions to the people who sell them and being extremely confusing. And so as soon as I saw that, I knew we were in for it.
But overall, an annuity is you hand over a sum of money to these companies. In exchange, they tell you that they will, you know, give your money back either in checks at some point or in lump sum at the end. So people are afraid of putting their money in stocks, as you said, afraid they're going to lose their money. This seems to be a guarantee that they'll get their money back, don't they?
It depends on the type of annuity. There are two different types. There are the kinds where you can buy a regular paycheck, in effect buying yourself a pension, or you can buy yourself a guarantee that a sum of money that you turn over will earn a certain return and will be guaranteed not to lose anything. Both those things are enticing right now at a time when the markets are moving up and down and fewer people than ever have pensions in the first place.
Right. But beware of that guarantee of how much money you get back and how much money your money is going to make. Hold that in mind as we continue on what happened that evening. So you see that this is going to be about some form of annuity, heart sinks. Then you see the host is a man named Arif Halabi, who, with a simple Google search, you discover what?
Well, I discovered that he got in trouble with some California state regulators several years back for having talked one of his clients into yanking a whole bunch of money out of his home's equity and putting it into speculative real estate in Costa Rica.
Something you might want to know before you go out to dinner with Mr. Halabi. But then you look more closely at some of the material that he's handing out to the people there, including your Aunt Tilly, which is not her real name. And you look at the small print. They're selling this annuity as being better than an investment in stocks. And you see what?
They were comparing an old type of annuity that actually doesn't exist anymore, with how the S&P 500 index of stocks would have done over that time period. And what I figured out right away in the teeny tiny fine print that a 65-year-old probably could not have seen without a magnifying glass, I could barely make it out in my mid-40s, was that they were not counting the dividends that stocks throw off that you could reinvest. And I did some quick calculations under the table with a calculator and realized pretty quickly that if you had included the dividends in that comparison, the stock index would have actually done better than the annuity.
Far better.
Far better.
33% better than the annuity. So what happened? You approach Mr. Hallaby. You also approach the company that he seemed to be working for. What were you told?
So I went back to see him first thing in the morning at his office. I thought we were going to be having a sort of reasoned intellectual debate about the reinvestment of dividends and what the right comparisons were. And instead, he accused me of, you know, showing up under false pretenses. He insulted our profession and my institution in particular. And then when I started asking him about the run-in he'd had with the state regulator several years ago, he showed me to the door and kicked me out of his office.
Okay, so that went well. Then you contacted the annuity company. He is selling these annuities for a company.
Correct. So the chart that he was showing off said that the data came from a particular insurance company. When I talked to the insurance company, they said, oh, that's an outdated chart. He's not supposed to be using it. And we actually inform our independent agents when it's time to retire materials like that.
Okay. As you write, after you wrote the column about being thrown out of the office of an annuity salesman, you were inundated with requests to find out more about these annuities. And you also have questions that people should ask, and they included one I had. What happens if you die?
There are certain annuities, even the simpler ones, where if you turn the money over in exchange for a paycheck for life, if you die, all that money's gone, right? Now, if you want your survivors to get some of that money, or if you want your spouse, if you have one, to continue getting a check, you can do that, but it means that your initial payout will be lower. The more complicated the product is, the more your head starts to spin.
You say one of the questions, what are the circumstances under which I might not get back the money I'm handing you? What part of the contract might limit or change how much money I eventually receive? What can change during the term of the contract? Can you please provide a list of all the fees I'm paying? So those are a lot of the questions. Where do you come down on annuities versus investing your money in the stock exchange, which hasn't been doing that well?
I think you can actually have a reasoned debate. And there are plenty of people out there in investing expert land who used to hate annuities as a matter of course, who are actually changing their minds about some of them now. There are circumstances under which certain annuities might perform better than, say, a bond fund would. So I try to remain open-minded about all of this. But the one thing I know for sure is that all of this is incredibly complicated. Many people who sell annuities make it complicated on purpose. And it is not the customer's fault that these things are so complicated. And everybody in this industry ought to be in the business of communicating much more clearly.
So is there something about the steak dinner being involved with a sales pitch that worries you?
The only thing that worries me is that people feel like, you know, once they've passed the cheesecake course, that they're under some obligation. And in fact, there are bulletin boards filled with annuity salespeople that sort of tell you what the ratios are, right? If you send a postcard out trying to get people to come to your office, you know, less than 1% of them will come. If you invite them to a steak dinner, it'll be 1 to 1.5% of the attendees who will come to a follow-up appointment. If it's a really good steak dinner at the fanciest steak restaurant, you might get like 3% of them to come, and then maybe 25% of those who come to your office will end up doing business with you. They work. So you just have to keep in mind that they're trying to lure you in, and you should be very careful about going in and turning over a large sum of your hard-earned money to somebody who, at the end of the day, is just trying to sell you something.
There's more on the menu than you might think at that steak dinner. Ron Lieber, he writes the Your Money column for the New York Times. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And Ron's steak dinner column begat others, including the most recent, on how people are trying to make annuities live up to their promise. A way to hand over a lump sum of money, keep it free from the stock market, get a check back for life, and ensure that the insurance company who sold you it will be there as long as you are. It's great information. We'll have all the columns at hereandnow.org.